This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Welcome to a reading of The Braille Monitor, a monthly magazine published by the National Federation of the Blind. Material selected with the interests of its audience in mind and with the goal to inform and entertain. The opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Audio Journal, its board of directors, staff, or volunteer readers. This program is funded in part by the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind. This is Lavender, and our program today will bring you articles from the May 2026 issue. Let's get started! Convention Bulletin 2026. The National Federation of the Blind's National Convention brings together blind people from across the country and around the globe. We come from all walks of life. Some of us have been blind all our lives, while others may be new to blindness. Some are young, some have been around the sun more than a few times. Some are convention first timers, while others have been attending for decades. Our catchwork of individual experiences makes us stronger together, and it means that our national conventions are a celebration of our diversity. Over the course of 85 annual conventions, nearly three dozen citizens reflecting similar diversity have played host to the NFB's biggest event of the year. Yet, among this broad list of destinations, our convention has never come to the capital city of Texas to gather and celebrate. This will change next July when we head to the JW Marriott Austin for our annual national convention. Austin is widely known as the live music capital of the world, having been home to the PBS program Austin City Limits for more than 50 years and host to the annual South by Southwest Music and Media Festival. Austin also boasts a vibrant art scene with many public art displays throughout the city. But Austin isn't just fueled by creative energy. A strong technology sector thrives here, with many tech companies establishing headquarters in the city. Waymo and Tesla are two notable names, as both companies offer autonomous vehicle rides within Austin. Cool. The University of Texas at Austin, with over 50,000 students, sits just north of downtown. Visitors will notice an emphasis on local retailers over national chains. This broad and eclectic diversity perpetuates the popular Keep Austin Weird vibe and makes for a truly unique destination. Our convention hotels. The upscale JW Marriott Austin will serve as our headquarters hotel, and all convention events will take place here this July. Our block of sleeping rooms at the JW is fully booked. However, there is plenty of space at all our near... This broad and eclectic diversity perpetuates the popular Keep Austin Weird vibe and makes for a truly unique destination. Our convention hotels. The upscale JW Marriott Austin will serve as our headquarters hotel, and all convention events will take place here this July. Our block of sleeping rooms at the JW is fully booked. However, there is plenty of space at all our nearby overflow hotels. The recently opened Austin Marriott Downtown is a couple blocks walk to the JW Marriott. Specify our room block code BL1 when calling 800-627-7468 to book your room. The hotel offers several on-site dining options, a 24/7 fitness center, and a pool with rentable cabanas. Please note that rooms do not have refrigerators, but are available upon request for those who must keep medications cold. The Courtyard by Marriott Austin downtown is just a few blocks from the JW Marriott and offers a Starbucks and Champions Sports Bar, a pool, fitness center, and breakfast buffet for just over $20. Call 800-321-2211. Ask for the Courtyard by Marriott Austin downtown and mention the National Federation of the Blind National Convention to book a room. Located at the same address as the Courtyard, the Residence Inn Austin downtown includes access to Starbucks and a complimentary breakfast buffet at Champions Sports Bar for guests. The pool and fitness center are also available. To book, call 800-331-3131. Ask for the Residence Inn Austin downtown and request the National Federation of the Blind National Convention Room block. All 2026 convention hotels offer our nightly rate of $139 for singles and doubles. Triples and quads are available for $155 per night. Sales tax and a tourism fee total a combined 19.7%. For each room you book, the hotel requires a deposit of the first night's room rate, taxes, and fees payable by credit card or a personal check. If a reservation is canceled before Sunday, June 1st, 2026, half of the deposit will be returned. Refunds will not be issued after that date. Registration. In-person registration for convention is now open. Registration costs $25 per person plus $85 per banquet ticket. Register early because prices go up if you register on site in Austin. Registration includes the biggest event of the year, access to the mobile app, and communications on the latest news and events. Registration for the convention virtual experience is also open. The virtual experience registration fee is $10. Virtual experience registration includes access to the mobile app and the opportunity to win door prizes. Links to both registration forms are at nfb.org/convention. Convention schedule. The 2026 convention of the National Federation of the Blind will be an exciting and memorable event with an unparalleled program and renewed dedication to the goals and work of our movement. A wide range of seminars for parents of blind children, technology enthusiasts, job seekers, and other groups will kick the week off on Friday, July 3rd. On-site registration and registration and packet pickup will also open on Friday. Breakout sessions continue Saturday, July 4th, along with committee meetings. Sunday, July 5th begins with the annual meeting, open to all of the Board of Directors of the National Federation of the Blind. National Division meetings will follow that afternoon and evening. General convention sessions will begin on Monday, July 6th, and continue through noon on Wednesday, July 8th. This year, there will be no general session on Wednesday afternoon prior to the banquet. Instead, there will be more breakout sessions. Convention ends on a high note with the banquet Wednesday evening, so be sure to pack your fancy clothes. The fall of the gavel at the close of banquet will signal convention's adjournment. Make plans to be a part of it. Request for door prizes. Remember that we need door prizes from state affiliates, local chapters, and individuals. Prizes should be small in size, but significant in value. Cash, of course, is always appropriate and welcome. As a general rule, we ask that prizes have a value of at least $25 and do not include alcohol. Drawings take place throughout the convention sessions, and you can anticipate a grand prize of truly impressive proportions to be drawn at the banquet. Important note for attendees. You must be registered to win a door prize. First-time attendees. If you or members of your chapter are first-time attendees, please learn about convention through the first-timers guide available at nfb.org/convention. Countdown to Austin. The best collection of exhibits featuring new technology, meetings of our special interest groups, committees, and divisions, the most stimulating and thought-provoking program items of any meeting of the blind in the world, the chance to renew friendships within our Federation family, and the unparalleled opportunity to be where the real action is and where decisions are made. All of these mean you will not want to miss being a part of the 2026 National Convention. To secure yourself a room in the headquarters hotel at convention rates, make your reservations early. We look forward to seeing you in Austin in July. From the editor by Chris Danielson. I am trying something a little different, starting with this issue of the Braille Monitor, and I am eager to know what you think about it. Instead of affixing an editor's note to every article in this issue, I am placing an overview of the issue here at the front. I am hopeful that it will be a useful guide to the reader as to what to expect and where to appropriate to tie the issue together thematically for both myself and our readers. Going forward, I personally hope that writing this introduction will help me do a better job of planning each issue, and hopefully you will find reading it equally useful. But however you feel about it, please let me know by sending an email to cdanielson@nfb.org or calling 410-659-9314, extension 2330. That invitation goes for any other feedback you have about the magazine as well, and of course for your own article submissions. These pages are often devoted to discussions of what we describe as Federation philosophy. An excellent contribution to this genre of article appeared in our January 2026 issue. It was entitled The Myth of the Superblind and was written by Cricket X. Beidelman. In the article, Cricket posited that putting certain blind people, often leaders, on stage, literally or figuratively, both exert undue pressure on them to seem invulnerable and unintentionally sends the message that there is a certain type of blind person that every Federationist is expected to be or to become. The article generated both enthusiastic and caustic responses on our social media and in feedback that I received personally. Therefore, it seems appropriate that we continue to discuss what our philosophy of blindness is and is not, and how experienced leaders and members can make it real for new or struggling members without placing a barrier in their path when we mean to make that path smoother. Our first impulse when confronted with people who say that they have experienced our movement as a group of blind people whose primary goal is to establish our superiority to other blind people is to deny that any person who has even passing familiarity with our movement could possibly think such a thing. But while some social media posts tell us that they find the Federation affirming and supportive, others say the opposite, and they cannot always be dismissed as the grumblings of the usual suspects who have never bothered to learn much about us. Indeed, I was personally recently surprised that someone whom I had known for several years publicly left our movement on their social media page, claiming that they had always found it cult-like and toxic. To further the ongoing discussion, this issue includes both a classic speech of our movement and some responses to it. When I was a student at the Louisiana Center for the Blind in the summer of 1992, some of our teenage students came back from that year's national convention in Charlotte, North Carolina, with a question. Why was then President Emeritus Dr. Kenneth Jernigan seen walking with a sighted guide during much of the convention, rather than simply traveling with his white cane, as these teenage students were learning to do? I remember well how this discussion played out in one of our seminars, and I remember that Joanne Wilson, the center director, encouraged the young people to write to Dr. Jernigan and ask him directly. They did, and the result was not only a thoughtful letter in reply, but his 1993 convention address, The Nature of Independence. We are reprinting that address in this issue, along with reflections upon it that were part of a recent episode of our Nationals Blind podcast and an article submitted by one of the participants in the 2025-2026 cohort of the Kenneth Jernigan Leadership and Service Program. We hope to include even more reflections on this topic and future issues, including yours. Please see above for how to get them to us. I will close my own reflections on this seminal speech and what it seeks to address with this quotation from it. We absolutely must not become so rigid and dogmatic about the means and precise details of achieving independence that we make ourselves and everybody else around us miserable. Down that road lies bigotry, as well as the loss of any real independence or true normality. Speaking of the Kenneth Jernigan Leadership and Service Program, two other members of the current cohort have submitted reflections that are, among other things, appropriate for the May celebration of Mother's Day. So we've included those as well. Technology is always a popular topic in these pages. In this issue, Jonathan Mosen, the Federation's Executive Director for Accessibility Excellence, presents a comparison of two multi-line braille displays that are now on the market, one of which, the Monarch, which I absolutely love, the Federation had an important role in creating. This is in direct response to questions that our Center for Excellence in Non-Visual Accessibility has received. So we hope Jonathan's thoughtful and thorough article helps readers choose the right braille device for their specific needs. Don't worry, we did not forget that another national convention is approaching in July. Norma Crosby, president of our Texas affiliate, which is, of course, hosting our planned gathering in that state's weird and wonderful capital city of Austin, has compiled some things you will want to know about said city. Donald Porterfield, president of our Arizona affiliate and chair of the Resolutions Committee, provides tips and reminders for those who are preparing proposed policies for our convention to adopt. And of course, there's the convention bulletin, updated with all the latest information we can provide as the big event approaches. We've rounded out the issue with the latest news from our movement and the blind community, including an update on developments at Lighthouse for the Blind and Visually Impaired of San Francisco, another victory for blind students of higher education, and information from Rachel Held, one of our outreach staff, on how chapters can participate in this year's Coast to Coast Movement Challenge. Happy reading, and please do share that feedback. As I've said before, this magazine truly reflects our movement only to the extent that all of the keeping convention weird. Plan your visit to Wacky Wonderful Austin by Norma Crosby. Every year, members of the National Federation of the Blind gather for our family reunion, aka the National Convention. In 2026, we are gathering in Austin, Texas, and it promises to be a record-setting year. Austin is a beautiful, weird city full of fun and excitement, and we plan to add to that excitement during the convention. The Texas affiliate is planning hospitality on par with our 2023 convention in Houston. Will it be the same as 2023? No. Austin and Houston are both great cities, but each has its own distinct personality. Houston is the big sister with glitz, glamour, and audacity. Austin is the little sister with an outlaw streak. Just ask the quintessential outlaw, Willie Nelson. There is a lot of work to do at NFB 2026, but even the most dedicated Federationists find a way to have some fun wherever they go, and Austin lends itself to both hard work and lots of play. For your listening pleasure, Austin is the live music capital of the world, and that music ranges from country to jazz to blues and everything in between. There are music venues all over town, and chances are that if you meet someone on the street, they are part of a band of some sort. Your grocery clerk probably has a band. State employees probably are in a band. Heck, even the legislators at the Capitol are likely to write songs and play guitar on the side. You'll find lots of live music along both East and West 6th Streets. It is definitely a people's place, so if you don't love crowds, find other places to visit. For foodies, ooh! East Austin is where you'll find authentic Latin culture and real-deal Mexican and Tex-Mex dining. Some are barbecue places all over town, and while Franklin's is the gold standard, you'll find other great places as well. Besides, you might not get to the head of Franklin's line before the convention ends. If you need a date night and want barbecue, try the County Line on the lake. It is situated in a beautiful part of the city, but fair warning, it is about 25 minutes from the hotel, so you might want to save it for a special night. It isn't stuffy, and it is busy on the weekend. It isn't just for date night. It is lively and kid-friendly, too. Texas Monthly is our state's magazine, and every 4 years, they search for 50 of the best BBQ restaurants in the state. That list is read religiously by most Texans, and some make a pilgrimage around the state to visit all 50. In 2025, Austin had 8 of the 50 within its borders, and 2 of those were in the top 10. That's great, and you'll find them listed in the restaurant guide we'll share for the convention. However, The truth is that most of any shack that serves barbecue in Texas will be just as good as these. In fact, I've found that the most unassuming BBQ restaurants are the best. We'll dig those up for you as well. Tex-Mex is another staple in the diets of most Texans, and you'll find plenty of that during your visit to Austin. My personal favorite is Matt's El Rancho. But just like the barbecue, it's hard to go wrong, and there are some pretty good choices near our hotel. Fun, fitness, and frivolity. After doing all that eating, you might want some exercise, and just down the road from our hotel is the Ann and Roy Butler Hike and Bike Trail. It circles Lady Bird Lake and is a beautiful walk or run. Fun fact, Lady Bird Lake is also crossed by the Ann W. Richards Congress Avenue Bridge, home to the world's largest urban bat colony, which means you can go and watch the bats fly from under the bridge for their nightly food forays if you so desire. If you want to travel a little further, make a trip to Zilker Park with the family. It is about 30 minutes on foot or 10 minutes by car. Zilker is a beautiful park with a 3-acre spring-fed pool called Barton Creek. It will really cool you off on a July day because the water temperature hovers around 68 degrees all year. It is an experience everyone should have, but beware, the bottom is slippery. So bring your water shoes and go on a weekday. It is very crowded on the weekend. Bucking the high cost of convention. Now that I have convinced you to come to NFB 2026, let's talk about how you can make your Austin visit less expensive. We all know that hotel prices are high, and we all know that eating every meal at the hotel is impossible for many of us. So let's talk about finding less expensive food options. Many experienced convention goers have discovered that we can save a fair chunk of change by ordering a grocery delivery or making a quick grocery run. Of course, you can always make a trip to Walmart, but that might not be how you want to roll. In Texas, we have a holy budget food trinity. H-E-B, Buc-ee's, and Whataburger. So let's start with H-E-B. H-E-B is a Tex-based market that Texans would practically lay down their lives for. They have all the national brands, but better than that, they have their own product lines. Whether it is Central Market, M-I Tienda, Hill Country Fair, or one of the other store brands, they are less expensive than the national brands, and they are as good or better. That's not why we love them, though. Aside from offering good prices, quality products, and friendly service, H-E-B is the first one there when there is a disaster requiring the community to pull together. During Hurricane Harvey in 2017, they found a way to open when other stores weren't, and they set up kitchens to help make sure people were fed. If you want delivery, you can use Uber Eats for Walmart and H-E-B, but you can also download the Favor app to order from H-E-B. Pharmacies and restaurants. Favor sometimes runs pretty good discounts with local restaurants. You might also want to gather a group of friends and make a grocery run. Having light food on hand can help you manage your money and still have a great food experience. H-E-B has other company branded stores like Central Market. There is a great one in Central Austin. They often have live music, healthy options, an outdoor patio, and a playground for kids. Central Market is a fun experience and is located about 15 minutes from downtown by car. Cap Metro buses also stop nearby. I mentioned Bucky's, and if you live in a state where it exists, you know that it is an experience. Some call it a gas station, and it is that on steroids. Others call it the world's largest convenience store, and it may also be that. What it really is chaos, the opportunity to spend copious amounts of money on snacks, souvenirs, sandwiches, fudge, burritos, and millions of items I am not naming. This may sound ridiculous, but we are considering a tour to Bucky's. I'm serious. I won't boast that it will save you money because you will buy some things you don't need. You may question your life choices later, but if we do it, you will be the fellow Federationists. So not only will you stock up on good snack food, you'll have a great time. If we get enough interest by May 15th, a tour will happen. If you are in, send an email with the subject line Bucky's Tour to ncrosby@nfbtx.org, and I'll add you to our mailing list. You will be notified by June 1st if the tour is on. Bring your wallet and an empty bag to pack the extra loot and your trip home. Ah, who am I kidding? You'll eat it all in Austin. The third element of our holy trinity is Whataburger. Some people, maybe me, stop at Whataburger every time they fly back into Texas after a trip to a place where no Whataburgers exist. Is there anything special about Whataburger? Well, if you want to save a little money, Whataburger is an option. Whether you grab a group and make a burger run or do a group Uber Eats order, it will cost less than hotel meals, and it's good. Is it the best burger in the world? That depends on who you talk to. I will say that it is very good, and it originated in Texas. So it is a rule that we have to love it, even though the company sold out to a firm in Chicago a few years ago. Kid stuff. Lots of families come to our convention and we love having them. So I thought I would tell you about a couple of things for the kids. Of course, I already mentioned Zilker Park and Barton Creek. That would be a fun family excursion. But Austin has more to offer. The Thinkery is a hands-on children's museum with lots of fun activities. Some of the activities involve water, so they suggest bringing a change of clothes for children who may participate in those. The museum hires blind people from time to time, and our affiliate will be working to ensure that both our blind and sighted visitors have a good experience. The museum is not downtown, but it is only a 10-minute Uber ride away. Other family-friendly options include the Book People. The largest independent bookseller in Texas offers books for both adults and children, and they also have gifts that you might want to take home. Across the street is the flagship Whole Foods market with its rooftop playground. And before you leave the area, take the kids to the 24 Diner, a farm-to-table comfort food outpost. I've barely scratched the surface of what Austin has to offer, and I promise we'll share more in our restaurant and touring guide. We'll post it by June 15th. Of course, there is nothing more fun for kids and adults than the family reunion that happens each year at a Federation convention. Join us to learn how to make sure blindness doesn't does not hold you back. Spend time building your community. Introduce your children to all this organization has to offer. We can't wait to see y'all. Bring your boots and hats because there may be a $100 prize for the people judged to be the best dressed cowboy and cowgirl on the first day of general session. Whether you love beer, barbecue, Tex-Mex, family fun in the outdoors, or seeing a million bats fly from under a bridge, Austin is the place for you. It's quirky, maybe a little weird, but is one of Texas' jewels. Add the chance to participate in the largest convention of blind people anywhere in the world into the mix, and Austin is the place to be from July 3rd to 8th. Resolution Reminders by Donald Porterfield. From the editor, Donald Porterfield is a member of the board of directors of the National Federation of the Blind and president of the Arizona affiliate. He is also an attorney who works as a prosecutor in Pima County, Arizona, and his legal skills no doubt serve him well in his role as chairperson of the National Federation of the Blind Resolutions Committee. Here is what he has to say about the writing and submitting of resolutions, which will very soon need to be composed and sent to him. Do you want to make a difference in the lives of blind people today and in the future? Do you think we should change a government policy, take a stand concerning an agency for the blind, or create new regulations? If you do, consider writing a resolution. Here are a few reminders to help you, as well as some questions to think about when writing a resolution. First, the questions. 1. Has a resolution already been written on your subject? If so, are you really adding something new? 2. Is the resolution necessary, or would a letter from the national president accomplish your goal? For example, a letter from the president commending an organization might be a better alternative than a resolution. 3. Did you do your research to ensure the accuracy of the resolution? 4. If the subject of the resolution would be of interest to a division, did you discuss your resolution with the division president? Please be mindful of your deadlines. To ensure that your resolution will be considered by the committee, please send it to President Riccobono or to me by June 4th, 2026, 1 month before the committee meeting. Since things are always busy leading up to the convention, we appreciate you sending them earlier if you can. These statements should clearly set forth the reason a resolution is being written without being so detailed that they make the reader wish the resolution had never happened. The second part of a resolution explains what will or should be done based on the argument laid out in the first section. Resolves are used to say what the NFB will try to persuade others to do. These two should be brief and to the point, long enough that they are not ambiguous and concise enough that they avoid repeating what has already been said. You should begin by determining what your resolved clauses are, that is, how many there should be and what their basic thrust is. You will know how many by the number of entities we need to address or the number of problems we need to fix. Or resolution writing. A resolution is one very long sentence divided into two parts. In the first part, a case is made that certain events have taken place or certain conditions exist that require action. The events are described in short statements that begin with the word whereas. These statements should clearly set forth the reason a resolution is being written without being so detailed that they make the reader wish the resolution had never happened. The second part of a resolution explains what will or should be done based on the argument laid out in the first section. Resolves are used to say what the NFB will try to persuade others to do. These too should be brief and to the point, long enough that they are not ambiguous and concise enough that they avoid repeating what has already been said. You should begin by determining what your resolved clauses are, that is, how many there should be and what their basic thrust is. You will know how many by the number of entities we need to address or the number of problems we need to fix. After you decide specifically how you want the problem fixed, determine the smallest number of concepts you need to explain to a person unfamiliar with the problem to convince them that there is a problem. The best resolutions can be picked up by a person unfamiliar with the issue and hold that person's attention. In other words, they are as sure as possible, while still actually explaining the problem and the solution or solutions. This method, deciding the ending first and then crafting the arguments to reach it, will result in the simplest and clearest resolution. Then, when you actually write the formal resolution, you can focus on the writing and the style, having already done the planning part. Here are the punctuation and layout rules for writing resolutions. 1. Each argument begins with the word whereas, all caps, be it resolved, and be it further resolved, which introduce the resolved sections, are written also in all caps. Note that whereas is followed by a comma, but the two versions of be it resolved are not. 2, each whereas before the final one ends with a semicolon and the word and. This is true of the word resolved as well. 3, the final whereas ends with a colon, the words now, therefore, and a hard return. Please note that now is capitalized. 4, the final resolved ends with a period. This reflects the fact that the entire resolution is a single sentence. Sometimes one is taxed to refrain from writing sentences within whereas clauses, but inserting a complete sentence is not playing the game fairly. 5, a blank line separates the element of the resolution. 6, in the beginning of the first resolved, surround the year and the state with commas. The formula looks like this. Be it resolved that the National Federation of the Blind in convention assembled this 8th day of July 2000 in the city of Atlanta, Georgia. Note also that the C in city is not capitalized. Remember that the resolves are couched in the subjunctive mood, which is largely used in English. This means that the third person verbs look singular instead of plural with the S removed. The organization urge, the NFB condemn and deplore, etc. This is because the subjunctive mood is invoked by words like suggest, wish, demand, request. Compare the following two sentences. She visits her cousin every week. I suggest that she visit her cousin every week. The second sentence is in the subjunctive mood because of the verb suggest. So the correct verb form is visit instead of visits. It is the same with resolutions. The rather strained form of the resolution makes it sound unnatural and formal. Do not attempt to add to this effect by indulging in jargon and verbosity. Even though resolutions are frequently long, brevity is a virtue. Each argument should be made concisely but clearly. Jargon never helps this process. Substituting utilize for the short, vigorous word use and referring to people as persons or individuals are good examples of counterproductive inflation of the pomposity quotient. On the other hand, because resolutions are formal statements of a policy position, you should avoid slang or informal words like exams instead of examinations or quotes for quotations. Verb forms like hunker down or get going are also a bit too casual for use in resolutions. You'll remember that the NFB is on record as opposing people first language, except as it happens for some reason to sound euphonious. We are also on record as opposing the use of the terms visually impaired or visual impairment in favor of low vision, hyphenated when used as an adjective. If any distinction needed to be made between totally blind people and those with some eyesight. In other words, blind people is perfectly acceptable, or if there is a good reason to make the distinction, blind and low vision people. Capitalization should be consistent. Do not capitalize words for emphasis. Quotation marks should not be used for this purpose either. Federal is not capitalized unless it is part of an actual title or is the first word of a sentence. Since whereas clauses begin with capital letters, federal is almost never capitalized in resolutions. Congress, on the other hand, is as our House of Representatives and Senate. Names of departments and organizations are capitalized, but terms like departments of education or vocational rehabilitation agencies are generic and should not be. Resolutions often pile up nouns as adjectives. When this happens, the terms should be hyphenated. Access program producers. Congressional bill numbers are written H.R. 2000 or S.0000. Resolutions are an important part of the work of the National Convention. The Braille Monitor is a good sounding board for new ideas and new policies. Consider writing an article about your new idea or policy so that the conversation can begin and you will be ready to write your resolution for 2027. However, the most immediate task is to start working on the resolutions for 2026. Resolutions guide our organization. Put your thinking cap on and get your fingers typing. Let's make sure we have a great set of resolutions for the 2026 convention. The job of the membership is to make sure the committee has resolutions to consider. I look forward to receiving yours. Building Momentum from Coast to Coast by Rachel Held. In the National Federation of the Blind, we often talk about building our movement in practical terms, growing our chapters, strengthening our connections, and increasing awareness in the communities where we live and work. These are not abstract ideas. They are the day-to-day actions that shape who we are and how we move forward together. The 2026 Coast to Coast Movement Challenge brings all of those ideas into focus, giving us a clear and timely opportunity to turn intention into action and purpose into measurable progress. At its core, the challenge is a nationwide effort designed to encourage chapters and affiliates to organize movement-based activities that promote awareness, build relationships, and raise funds to support our mission. It is both structured and flexible, offering a shared framework while leaving room for creativity at the local level. This year, the initiative will connect to larger events such as the Bay Bridge Run, the California Internal Marathon, and, new this year, the Philadelphia Marathon. These anchor events provide visibility and energy, but they are only one part of a much bigger picture. What matters most is what happens locally when chapters take ownership of the challenge and design activities that reflect their own communities. No two chapters are exactly alike, and the strength of this initiative lies in that diversity. A chapter in a rural area may organize a community walk through a local park, while a chapter in a larger city might participate in a citywide race or attend a group fitness class. Each of these approaches contributes to a shared goal, but each is shaped by the people and places involved. This local focus is what makes the effort meaningful and sustainable. We know that changing public perceptions about blindness does not happen all at once. It happens gradually, often through small, everyday interactions that challenge assumptions and open minds. When a chapter organizes a walk, participates in a community race, or hosts a wellness event, it creates opportunities to be seen, to be heard, and to engage in authentic ways. These are the moments when misconceptions begin to fade and understanding begins to grow. A conversation during a water break, a shared mile on a walking path, or a simple introduction at a community dance class can have a lasting impact. At the same time, these activities strengthen our chapters from within. While meetings are essential to our work and provide structure and direction, they are not always where relationships are built most naturally. Shared experiences, especially those that involve effort, teamwork, or stepping outside of one's comfort zone, creates a different kind of connection. When members walk side by side, train together, or support one another through a challenge, they build trust and camaraderie. These experiences foster a sense of belonging that extends beyond formal gatherings and help to create a more cohesive and resilient chapter. The Coast to Coast Movement Challenge also serves as a coordinated fundraising effort, aligning financial support with meaningful activity. Contributions raised through chapter-led events support the work of our national organization and help ensure that we can continue to expand programs, advocate effectively, and reach more blind people across the country. Fundraising becomes more than a task. It becomes part of a shared story. A walk becomes more than a walk. It becomes a statement of purpose and a contribution to lasting change. To support participation and coordination, each chapter is asked to designate a movement champion. The movement champion serves as both a leader and a facilitator, someone who keeps the effort moving forward, encourages participation, and helps share the chapter's progress and experiences. This role is essential, not because one person does all the work, but because effective coordination helps everyone contribute more fully. The Federation has set a goal of engaging at least 35 chapters in movement activities during 2026. Reaching that goal will require broad participation and a willingness to embrace a variety of approaches. Some chapters may choose to organize larger, highly visible public events that draw attention and media coverage. Others may focus on smaller, more informal activities that prioritize things like personal connection. Both approaches are valuable and both contribute to the overall success of the initiative. What matters is not the scale of the activity, but the intention behind it and the impact it creates. As with many of our most effective initiatives, the long-term value of the Coast to Coast Movement Challenge will be reflected not just in numbers, but in experiences. Chapters will discover new ways to connect with their communities, often building relationships that extend well beyond a single event. Members will find new ways to engage with one another, strengthening the internal fabric of the Federation. The stories that emerge from first-time participants to seasoned advocates will help illustrate the power of collective action and reinforce the message that blindness does not define or limit us. These stories matter. They become part of how we communicate our mission, inspire new members, and demonstrate the impact of our work. A successful event is not only one that raises funds or draws a crowd, but one that creates a meaningful experience worth sharing. When these stories are told within chapters, across affiliates, and at the national level, they amplify the reach of our work and help sustain momentum over time. Chapters that are interested in participating can begin with a few simple steps. Attend an informational session, select a movement champion, and start a conversation about what kind of activity makes sense for their members. Planning does not need to be complicated. In fact, the most successful efforts are often those that are simple, intentional, and grounded in what people are genuinely excited to do. It is also important to remember that participation can evolve. A chapter might start with a small event and build on that experience in future years. Lessons learned. What worked well? What could be improved? What sparked the most engagement can inform future efforts and help chapters grow stronger over time. When chapters from coast to coast take part, each in their own way, shaped by their own communities, but all connected by a shared purpose, we create something larger than any single event. We create alignment, awareness, and most importantly, we create momentum. That momentum, built step by step and mile by mile in communities across the country, carries our movement forward. Well, folks, that's all the time we have for today. You have been listening to The Braille Monitor, a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you would like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or Braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. If you have any idea for a topic to explore, please call Audio Journal at 508-797-1117 or email info@audiojournal.org. I'm Lavender. Thank you for listening.
This is not a public service announcement. This is a one-minute mystery.
Gloria Goodbody stepped up to the bar, leaned over, and whispered into Harold the bartender's ear that she wanted a tall, cool glass of water. Instead of granting her request, Harold reached under the bar, pulled out a shotgun, and pointed it directly at Gloria. A moment later, a smiling Gloria gave Harold a huge kiss and a large tip as a token of her appreciation. Why would Gloria be thanking Harold for his strange behavior?
here's the solution to our mystery.
Gloria had been battling a bout of hiccups, and Harold, being an experienced bartender, knew that scaring her would prove infinitely more effective than a glass of water. It evidently worked.
And now back to our regular programming.